A couple weeks ago, we had an all-hands meeting, and it was the first of monthly things that we're going to call face-to-face that Vic and I are going to be working on together. And the theme and the message that morning was this: what does it look like to become a community of people on a journey to God? And for a few minutes here, what I'd like to bring, and I feel like what God wants me to bring to us, is what does it look like? How do we become a people who receive God's mystery? How do we become a people who receive God's mystery? The scriptures teach us this about the mysterious ways of God. God uses ordinary, perplexing, unorthodox, even painful means and methods to accomplish His extraordinary plans in our world and in our lives. Why do we miss God's mystery? Well, I know why I miss God's mystery. I miss God's mystery because I often have a much clearer, a much better picture of how things should play out. I miss God's mystery because I think that in this whole drama, the real director ought to step aside, and I might have some comments or some input on this mystery and how this drama plays out. That's why I miss the mystery. We've been talking about ancient history. We've heard from the 1800s and I think the 1700s. Well, in 1975, I was a teenager, and I had grown up in a home where we lived in 10 houses before I was out of high school. We moved in the middle of my eighth grade year to Texas. We then moved in the middle of between my sophomore and junior year, we moved to Ohio. Put yourself in the shoes, and some of you may have experienced the same kind of thing. Put yourself in the heart, in the shoes, in the life of a young guy who had moved just even a couple times during junior high and high school. I was a young man who had experienced pain, and it was showing up in the form of anger, loneliness, anger at God, anger at my parents, loneliness, depression, not really understanding why life was going the way it was going as now a junior in high school who had yet again entered into the cafeteria wondering where he was going to sit. Those were not great years, those last couple years of high school. There were some high points, but for the most part, it was a very difficult time. I was missing something. I was missing God's mystery. I was missing God's creative drama in a guy's life, my life. Why can I say that? Because now in hindsight, and it's often in hindsight that we see God's mystery in a way that we can embrace it, is I can look back now and know that I moved to Bay Village, Ohio, and I started going to an FCA group there, not because I was interested in FCA or the Bible or anything like that, but they played floor hockey every Wednesday night, and they just, all this group of guys just knocked each other to smithereens in the gym. And I just thought that was the greatest thing. And Coach Chadwick was the football coach that headed that up. And every time we had one of these, you know, floor hockey times, he would share a little scripture. Well, I had never experienced and seen faith in that way before. So it planted seeds. Well, the cold winters in Ohio also had an impact. And it was probably more than that because I was very discontent. And I wanted to go back to Texas. And I had a longing to go back to Texas because of the hurt and the heartache and the loneliness and all the stuff I was going through. And so I went back to TCU And as some of you have heard my story, you know that at TCU, my freshman year, I was planted right in the midst of a group of people who had genuinely loved Jesus. And so the rest of the story, the rest of this mystery of God was played out in my life, and I was able to see, wow, I came to faith. If I hadn't moved to Ohio and hadn't had those seeds planted, if I hadn't been discontent, if I hadn't been lonely, if I hadn't been broken, if I hadn't gone through that, I never would have wanted so badly to get out of Dodge and go to Texas again and be at TCU. Well, you know, the Christmas story is just as perplexing and just as painful a story when you unwrap it. It is. Consider an unwed teenage girl and her husband-to-be being one of the main players. Scandalous. Scandalous. If there was CNN in that day, I'm certain that we would have heard more about Mary and Joseph than we've heard about some certain sports celebrity in recent days. Scandal. How could God do something so important in such a scandalous way, in a painful way? Or God wrapped in diapers. How powerless, how unimpressive. Certainly God's handlers and advisors would have told him that that's not the way to enter in for your big first splash in this world. Or how about the first worshipers? Sheep, stinky shepherds. Is that who we would gather for this important event? Certainly we could get some Forbes 100 CEOs to show up. But no. What was God thinking? And certainly in our lives, God doesn't ask our opinion very often as he unfolds the mystery. And just as during that first Christmas, his mystery, as it unfolds, as perplexing, as unorthodox, as painful even, as it is good. So let me just leave us as we leave here today. Let me leave us with three keys for not missing the mystery of God in everyday life. Three keys for not missing the mystery of God in everyday life that comes out of the Christmas story. First off, when Mary first heard about this wacky plan from the angel, and certainly put yourself in her shoes and believe me that it did not make sense, here was her response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. The first key to not missing the mystery of God is that we embrace the mystery. We embrace the mystery. We submit to the mystery even though it makes no sense. And the question that's attached to this first key is this one that we ask. Lord, what would you have me do? So we embrace the mystery even when it makes no sense. And we ask, Lord, even in this wacky, unorthodox, perplexing situation, what would you have me do? And that was the spirit of Mary. The second key for not missing the mystery of God in everyday life is seen then in Luke chapter 2. Verses 4 and following. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. The second key is we enter courageously into the mystery. Joseph could have put Mary aside. He could have divorced her quietly. And yet, courageously, Joseph and Mary entered into this mystery even while it made no sense. They didn't see the end. They didn't know what was going to happen. And certainly in our lives, when we enter into this mystery, there's often times where we do not see how this is going to work out. Pam and I, over Thanksgiving, had numerous interactions with immediate family members and extended family members that showed multiple people that were in the midst of a mystery and it was not making sense. And so the second key is this: we enter courageously. And the question that goes along with this entering in is this: Lord, will you be with me when I need you? And certainly Mary and Joseph, on that scandalous night, on that scandalous journey, were asking that question: Lord, will you be with me when I need you? So we embrace the mystery and we ask, Lord, what would you have me do? We enter courageously the mystery and we ask, Lord, will you be with me? And finally, we see in verse 8 of chapter 2 and then over to verse 19, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They showed up and they had an experience. And Mary, at the end there, in verse 19 and 20, this is what it says. Because the third key to not missing the mystery of God in everyday life is that we not only embrace it, we not only enter courageously, but we experience the mystery. We see and we treasure and we celebrate the mystery as God unfolds it. And we see it there in verse 19 and 20. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds, Mary, after it was all unfolded, while the perplexing dimension of it, the unorthodox dimension of it, even the painful dimension of it was now getting in the rearview mirror, the shepherds experienced and treasured, and Mary treasured and pondered what God was doing. And certainly in our lives, as we enter into the mystery, which often is perplexing and doesn't make sense, and most often gives us the opportunity to say, Lord, we really wouldn't do it this way. We don't understand. God says to us, will we be like Mary, who said, I'm your servant. Do with me as you please. Will we be like Mary and Joseph, who entered courageously and went on the road to fulfill what God asked them to do? And will we be like Mary and those shepherds and be able to celebrate on the backside when we see so much more clearly what God is doing? Father, thanks that you can reveal this to us and that you reveal it through the ordinary flesh of a young woman, a man, an infant child, and stinky shepherds. And Lord, we come to you just like them, ordinary people who desperately need you and need your perspective and want so badly to embrace and experience your mystery as you unfold it in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.